On lesson 11, this is the next to the last week in this quarter, and you can see the familiar flag screen we have for this study. We're all the way around the circle now to remember your separation, and we've got be imitators and sow bountifully, and then we'll be done with this quarter and the next teachers will take over. So thank you for your attendance and your participation. And as we close this out this week and next week, we pray that it's been somewhat beneficial to you. All right. Lesson 11, remember your former separation from Christ. So there's a big gulf separating those who are not in Christ from Christ. What is that thing that separates those people?
Sin.
And so as we talk about remembering your former separation, we're talking to Christians here, right? People who have embraced Christ, who embraced the Word, and are doing the very best to live by it every day. That's who this lesson is really addressed to. And so Jonathan started this lesson on Wednesday, and we'll just review a little bit. Not going to reteach his stuff. We're just going to read this. You were once dead in your sins and separated from Christ. We all were. Some of us may still be, but we're talking to Christians here. We should remember our lost condition. And he cites Romans 6 and Ephesians 2. We're not to glory or boast in our sins, Jonathan taught us in James 4 and Galatians 6. But remember the shame of our sins. And if you're in here this morning and you're not a baptized believer and you're not covered by the blood of Christ, then you're in your sins. And think about that. Remember the shame of our sins, 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 4. Paul, when teaching, occasionally referred back to his sinful manner of life. He remembered. He reviewed that. He reminded himself of where he came from. And good reflection like that on each of ourselves is good for us. And then Jonathan brought us to this last point here. And sometimes Paul reminded others of their former manner of life and lost condition. And there are reasons for that in 1 Corinthians 6. About maybe boasting or maybe thinking you're better than someone else. We were all sinners. We were all lost. We were all in darkness. And so we don't have anything to boast from. And that brings us now to where we are in this lesson. So be reminded you were dead in your sins. And this is the way the lesson is going to take is there's a statement, and then we'll look at things that remind us of that. Ephesians 2 and verses 1 and 2, and make sure I'm projecting here. And he made alive who were dead in their trespasses and sins. Made alive. So they were dead. We were dead. And Christ made us alive. In your trespasses in which you once walked, which we all did. Nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. We're children of God because we chose to be that, but we came from sin just like everyone else. Which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And so if you were reminded that you were dead in your sins, I was dead in my sins. All Christians were dead in their sins. But you were redeemed from those sins through the blood of Christ. Romans 5, 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so it's the blood of Christ. It's not works that we do. It's not anything else. It's the blood of Christ that does that for us. We were redeemed with Christ's blood when we were dead in our sins. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, whatever those might be. You know, in the ancient times, everyone had their idol Even the children of Israel were found to have idols in their homes. You're not redeemed by those kind of things. Nothing corruptible like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. And he was that sacrificial lamb that could, that was the only one that could take away sin. We were dead in our sins, but we are now cleansed from sin by the blood, John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else. Nothing else can do it. Nothing else is good enough to do it. Our sins were forgiven. Remember, when you were dead in your sins were forgiven, washed away when we were baptized. Familiar verse here. Everybody could probably quote this verse. Then Peter said, Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so baptism is where we symbolically come in contact with the blood of Christ. In the children of Israel, in the Israelite days, they actually killed the lamb, and the blood was then offered on the altar for the sins of the people. But that blood never took away any sin. God just didn't remember it till next year for the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with blood. And so there's no animal that could take away sin. And so our sins were washed away because of the blood of Christ, and we come in contact with that through baptism. And remember that when you were dead in your sins and all these things happened to you, you were united with Christ. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Christ died on the cross and then later rose to walk in a new life, a life that he eventually ascended to heaven. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Christ's death, burial in the tomb, and his resurrection is reenacted every time someone obeys the gospel. You die to your sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of all those things I've done. You are buried in the watery grave of baptism, and you rise out of that a sinless person. So we use the symbology of death, burial, and resurrection that Christ went through. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. Be reminded of our former disobedience, of who we really were back then. Sometimes we gloss over that. Sometimes we don't want to remember that. There's some things we may not want to remember. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. That's where we walked. And it's not something that we are proud of, but it's not something that we want to totally wash from our memory. Remember, be reminded of who you were. Down in following on, the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, that's who we were following, whether we knew it or not, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's how we lived. That's what we did. And of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. By nature, children of wrath. We have to overcome our nature to go to heaven. So, our former disobedience reminds us that we were children of wrath. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. And then the sons of disobedience, we just read that. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so, if we're still in the category of us, the sons of disobedience, then the wrath of God's going to come on us. Or those who remain in that, the wrath of God will come on them. And so our former disobedience should remind us that we were children of wrath and that those will be destroyed. Our former disobedience should remind us that we would have been punished with eternal destruction from God's presence if we had not obeyed the gospel. 2 Thessalonians, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that first phrase, who do not know God, there's plenty of people, especially in the United States and around the world too, that says, I know God. I know God. But the point is, do you obey the word, the gospel? And do you obey it correctly? And do you obey it as it is or without any additions or subtractions? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Because if he knew God, he would be absolutely shaken by the outcome that he's in. So they can't know God.
Yeah.
They may say it.
But they say they do.
But
right.
They say they do.
Yep. That's right. Yep. And so, can we fool ourselves? You bet. There's millions of people who have fooled themselves or been fooled by thinking that they know God, but they're not worshiping as the New Testament says. They're not behaving as the New Testament would dictate. And so, what's verse 9 say there? These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so, if you say, I know God, but you're not obeying the gospel, obeying the word, then you're just fooling yourselves, or somebody has fooled you. Good comment. Thank you. And our disobedience should former disobedience should remind us of God's mercy, love, and grace in Ephesians chapter 2. But God loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. With Christ, sit together, heavenly places. And so it's not that we just do whatever we want to do, but God loved us when we were dead to God, by the way. But through Christ, if we choose to obey, has made us alive and raised us up and let us sit in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. And so, God did show His grace and His kindness toward us by sending His Son, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and by the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated Word of God. Comments? Exceeding riches, yes.
It's above and beyond what we can even imagine.
Yeah, excellent. It is. God showed His exceeding riches and grace. It's not just a little bit, but He outpoured it, packed down, filled up. And our former disobedience reminds us we are saved because God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins. God loved us sinners enough to send His Son to die on the cross for a bunch of sinners. John 3:16, everybody could quote this one, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. And 1 John 4, love one another, for love is of God. God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he does not love, does not know God, for God is love. There's a song that has this and then similar verses in it. God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. No other way. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the substitute for our sins. Be reminded of our responsibility to walk in the good works. In the good works of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So once we have become a baptized believer, and once we have put on Christ, and once we start to grow in the Word and understanding, we're created. We're a new creature, created for good works. And if we just stop, well, I'm baptized. That's all I need to do. I'm not into all that study thing. I don't like Bible classes. I don't like sermons. I don't like discussing it. Well, that's not going to help, because we have to grow and do good works and a number of other things to remain faithful and in the walking in the light. So, God reminds us we need to walk in a manner worthy of His calling. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. And that's a high ask. Worthy of the calling of Christ. We're humble humans on this earth. And we have the God of the universe and His Son calling us, and we have to, and we're beseeched, we're pleaded to walk worthy of what Christ did for us. My goodness. I mean, it's a daunting thing, and we have to work at it, and we have to work on it, and work on ourselves, and learn more so we can then work on it and on ourselves some more. It's a lifelong work. We walk in a worthy manner. We must walk in love. That's one of the things that is over and over and over in certainly in the Bible and in the New Testament. Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. We can't even imagine, we talked a minute ago, we can't even imagine the love for us that it took to do all that. An offering and a sacrifice was given for us. It was hinted at in the old and in ancient times because they sacrificed animals. But no animal, as I said before, could take away sin. And so an offering and a sacrifice was found. It was the Son of God coming down as a human, dying on the cross, being buried in a tomb, and being resurrected to show us the way. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness. It doesn't, at least the New King James doesn't say you were once in darkness. You were once darkness. We were dark. We weren't light. But now you are light in the Lord, in Jesus. Walk as children of light. Behave yourselves as children of light. Strive to be in the light. Thus, because of we're called to walk in a worthy manner, we walk as wise, not foolish. And sometimes that's a hard thing to discern all that, and we have to grow in the Lord, grow in the Word. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk as wise people. And you've got to work at it. Wisdom doesn't just grow out of the ground. We have to work at it. Remember to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Into death? Yeah. Because we want our old man of sin to die away. The one that is dark, die away. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a new life, in newness of life. Not the old life, a totally new life. And is that transformation in our minds might be instant, but in practice, we have to stop. We have to stop doing some things and start doing other things. And it's not a... Some things we don't even know we shouldn't be doing, depending on the person and how much exposure they've had to the Word. And so we have to walk in a new life and put off the stuff of the old life. And it's a process. Remember to walk since you were created in Christ Jesus. Remember that. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. We talked about that just a minute ago. And then according to the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 4, that righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Wow. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so, are you walking according to the Spirit, or still got some fleshly things going on? That's the question you ask yourself. Walk by faith, not by sight. And so as we think about that, before we actually look at this that little short scripture there, what is that really talking about, walk by faith and not by sight? So in our old dark self, we just walk by sight. We just I like that. I want to do that. I want to hang with this person or these people. I want to drink that. I want to go to that kind of a place. Walk by sight. So what's different about walking by faith instead of sight? Because I've now embraced the Word, ingested the Word as I can, and growing in that manner. And now I understand that by faith I can't do this. I can't be with that person. I can't go there. I have to walk by faith and put my trust in God, the Father and the Son and the Word, and which is the Holy Spirit revealed Word. And the Son is the embodiment of that Word. And so it's a different life. And if we become a baptized believer, and our life doesn't change, that's a red flag, because the life has to change. So, 2 Corinthians 5, for we walk by faith, we Christians walk by faith, not by sight. So things that look appealing in this world, ooh, that looks appealing. What does faith say? Because sight would lead us astray. According to the pattern, there's a pattern that... And we talk about the pattern a fair amount over the course of the years. Brethren, join in following my example. Note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern, the apostles. This is Paul talking, but you have us for a pattern. The revelation that the apostles and others revealed, and the Holy Spirit working with them through the laying on of hands, revealed the Word, and made the visible the pattern. And we have to follow the pattern that the Word shows us and walk in a worthy manner. It's Colossians 1, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Ooh, now that's a short two or three words, but a big job. Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's a process, isn't it? That we have to work on it. We have to get started and start working on it. Walk in the light, 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, what's the opposite of that? If we don't walk in the light, our sins aren't cleansed. What if we are a baptized believer and at some point make a mistake and fall out of the light? Then we had to repent and then get back in the cleansing. We've already been baptized, but we have to repent of those sins or that sin and get back in the cleansing. And God will cleanse you from sin as well. But if we if we drift off and start doing things we shouldn't do and going places we shouldn't go and being with people we shouldn't be with and eating and drinking things we shouldn't be eating and drinking, and we don't repent of those, then we're back in darkness. Back in darkness. We need to walk in God's commandments, 2 John 1. This is love. We talk about love. God is love. This is love on our part that we walk according to His commandments. Wait a minute. What are the commandments? How do we find the commandments? In the Bible, of course, in the New Testament. You got to dig it. You got to dig in there. Now, we have Bible classes. We have excellent sermons. We have a ladies' Bible class. Men's Bible class is going to get ramped back up. We got things, but you have to work at it. You have to try it. You have to make it part of your life. You have to give diligence to it. Right? And walk in the truth is similar, but we want to call that out too. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Walk in truth, not walk in error. Right? Comments? Yep. Yep. Yeah, so repeat that. The old man.
The old man has learned habits, and he has habits. Then all of a sudden, he has learned about the Christ. The Christ is the primary function that he must do. And when you were talking a minute ago about the pieces and the processes, those are the secondary things to reinforce that person to stay with Christ. Mm-hmm. Are the old habits there? Oh, yeah. If Satan can grab an old habit, he will. So it's up to us to break this line of thinking. The habit is the same as any habit that we have that's not a good one, and we do it when we know we ought to do better.
Exactly. Thank you. You said it much better than I could have or did. And so we have to unlearn some things, as Sherry said. We have to stop doing some things. We have to evaluate everything we're doing and then start doing new things, which is study and meditate and attending Bible classes and attending worship services and a lot of things. You know, we've seen several new converts come through this congregation over the last, I don't know, year and a half, whatever. And most of them are not here anymore because they didn't get rid of the things that were drawing them back into the darkness. And so as we think about ourselves and think about the folks who we remember some of their names, that it's a sad thing because they were cleansed and now they're back in darkness. It is a sad thing. All right, be reminded of the price that Jesus paid to reconcile us to God, because it was a big ask, and it was a big obedience on His part because of what happened. Reminds us, the price Jesus paid reminds us to reconcile, that Jesus reconciled us to God through His blood. We've talked about the blood several times. It's an integral, pivotal thing in God's relationship to man is the blood of Christ. Not the blood of animals, not anything else, not some idol, but the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off in darkness have been brought near into light by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And so the blood of Christ reconciles us to God. Verse 15 and 16, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the old law, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, the Jew and the Greek, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, the church, thereby putting to death the enmity. The body of Christ is where we're all reconciled. I don't care what race, what color, where you came from, who your mama was, anything. It doesn't matter now. It mattered in the ancient times, but it doesn't matter now. All you have to do is want to serve God, thereby putting to death the enmity between, not only between this way, but this way as well. Reminds us the price Jesus paid, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross to reconcile us to God. Colossians 1, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, what are things on the earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It took his blood. No other blood was good enough. No animal could have done it. Jesus' price he paid reminds us that he was a propitiation by his blood. Now, you can see the scriptures highlighted is one I'm showing you, but there are other scriptures that you can go and get a richer depth of study if you so choose. Romans 3, verse 25, God set forth as a propitiation, talking about Christ, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And so Jesus makes that all work for all the sins in the past and all the sins in the future. Jesus, the price he paid reminds us we are reconciled to God when we are baptized. We talked about that, but here's a different scripture. And Colossians 2, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. If you're now not in darkness, but in light, you're a baptized believer, you're in the body of Christ, and you're got your life straight, trying to serve God, he has made alive together, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. There's no more Jew or Gentile. It's just people who will serve God or not serve God. And the price Jesus paid reminds us that Jesus died for our sins. In 1 Peter 3, for Christ also suffered once for sins. In the old ancient times, it was sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands, probably upon hundreds of thousands of animals over the centuries were sacrificed. But none of them could take away sin. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. He died while we were darkness, hoping that we would take advantage of the opportunity and become children of God instead of children of the devil, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so, as we think about Jesus, the price he paid, he died for our sins. And then that price also reminds us, or should, that he gave himself for our sins. Another view of that, Galatians 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That one, the next one, up to our present evil age. Deliver us from it. Now, that's not something that we do without any effort on our own part. Not that we earn it, but we have to embrace God, be a baptized believer, embrace the Word, and grow in the Word. And then the will of God and our Father will deliver us from the evil age. Comments on any of that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
He came down here and lived
no doubt about it. Yeah, he was preparing his disciples and apostles in those three, give or take 3 years, for sure. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well said. Comments on that? This will be the last slide this morning. Be reminded to be thankful for the blessings we enjoy in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, because we are in Christ ourselves. And in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? We read this before. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk a newness of life. We're not walking a new life, then what are we doing? That's a rhetorical question. You should know that. Verse 5, 4, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death through baptism, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection by living a righteous life and doing what we should do and honoring him and being, as Doug said, a daily example of his life. The blessings we enjoy should remind us to walk as people who owe an unpayable debt. The blessings which we enjoy in Christ should remind us that we owe an unpayable debt. Romans 12, verse 1, 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, kind of what Doug was saying, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. It's not too big of an ask. It's not the ask that Jesus was asked. No. It's a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. You were darkness, and now you're light. Don't go back. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, jumping down, so that you may prove whether it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then remind us the blessings that we walk as people whose confidence abides in the Word. We're going to stop there because we're out of time. So we'll begin there and finish lesson 11 and go in lesson 12 on Sunday.